Yesterday we did this whole recording and I forgot to actually turn the recording of the good mics on. So everything we did was completely pointless. You know how much I care about audio. So I just trashed the whole thing. So we're going to start over, do it a little bit differently anyway. Welcome to another episode of the Scott McKenna Podcast. We are just hanging out here. We're going to do things a little bit differently. And I'm thinking that we're going to try to do this every single week as a way to just have some random what's on our brain thought process, similar to what I've been doing with the solo podcast that you guys have been responding to well. But I like hearing other people's thoughts on the same topic, especially obviously people that are around me and that work with me all the time. And we're going to start this podcast off in a funny way because I mentioned something recently on a video that was me saying I'm not necessarily easy to work with, and someone said, well, what do you mean you're not easy to work with? And so I figured, who better to ask than the guy that's worked with me the longest? Pablo, what makes it this is like a hard question for you to answer, but this is an unfiltered way, you don't have to like sugarcoat it. What makes working with me not so easy?
Not so easy.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. First, hi. Hey, thanks for being here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. No problem at all.
Actually, you know what? Let's put this in front of your mouth. This sounds better.
Okay.
So, Pablo, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here to this mandatory meeting / podcast we're having here.
No problem. No problem.
The invitation was like this. Pablo, let's record a podcast real quick. All right, sweet. What's it about? We'll just talk.
Long commute in here.
What makes working for me so difficult? Actually, I shouldn't say so difficult because it's not like you are not doing good. Because that makes it sound like you're complaining all the time about working is maybe difficult.
You know, I think
what makes working for me harder though, for people that don't know how I actually am all the time.
Right. It's not about being difficult. It's more so just about like the hardest part, I would say, is probably just the honesty and the pursuit of doing of excellence, I guess you could say, and sometimes the means to get there. I would say that's the hardest, but it's also the reason why I love working with you, because there's so many people that are too scared of what people may think, or they're too scared. There may be, well, really, real honest answers. They're too soft. They want to people please. And I would say that as much as you aren't in it to wreck people, you are in it to succeed and to do well. And I think that I actually am in the same boat. Like, I want to pursue the same thing. So I think as much as it's hard to sometimes hear honest truth, and sometimes it's hard to be addressed a certain way, I think the intention behind it is great. And I think sometimes those hard conversations are the only reason I've grown so much. So to answer the question, it's those things that are hard about working with you, but I think I also enjoy them. So it's probably why I'm still here a year and a half, two years later.
I have a unique way to approach certain things that isn't always the correct way at all. Obviously, one of my downfalls, for those that don't know me on a regular basis, like actually interact with me, you know me on a camera. And I think that's, I'm the same way on the camera, but the difference is you don't see me, you know, 9 hours a day. That'd be really boring. But I'm very direct with things because that's the way that I like being approached. I don't like when people beat around the bush with anything. I like if there's something that needs to be addressed, I want it addressed and doesn't need to be sugarcoated. Like if something sucks, I like when people are just like, hey, that sucks. Let's work on that. I'm like, okay, that saves a lot more time than you'd be like, so this is good. I really like this. This is really good. And this is nice. And this is nice. One thing we need to work. I'm like, you're wasting my time. What sucked? Like, let's fix that. Like, let's just get to it.
Right.
But I'm realizing that obviously the traits of good leadership is also understanding that not everybody responds the way that I do to things. So just because I like being, getting direct communication to me, not a lot of people do. And so I'm trying to find that balance of some people need to not have things sugarcoated, but need to just be approached a little bit more gently because not everyone's my way. I think a lot less people are actually like being that honest.
Yep.
So I need to get better at that. I think you take that kind of stuff fine because we've been doing it for, 2 years, but it still is not the right way. So trying to get better at that, but Anyway, you have. That was like, we jumped right into that conversation. It was real good there.
Just go deep real quick.
Yeah. So, see, it's hard because we recorded this all yesterday and had like a bunch of thoughts and things we wanted to talk about. But then I didn't record the audio. So, but then when we talked about it, we kind of had a couple different topics that I think were actually useful to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ones I want to bring up right away that someone had mentioned a while back, and I think it's a really good topic, is the idea of creative slumps. We all go through creative slumps at times, and someone messaged me or maybe comments on YouTube about how do you get out of a creative slump. And I thought about it for a second because I've definitely been in them, and then I try to think, well, how do I actually get out of them? And so what is your take on how you get out of creative slumps when you're in them?
Yeah, I found that when in a creative slump, sitting in it and dwelling on it is not the best way to go about it. I think actually doing the very opposite of what you feel, which is just doing, I think that's what gets me out of creative slumps. So in other words, like if you're in a creative slump, that means you should create and start creating whatever you can, as much as you can, and then ideas and all different types of, I'd say, you know, creative juices, for lack of better terms, will start flowing. And from that, just the action. In other words, instead of wanting the feeling and then the action to happen afterwards, you just do the action and then the feeling will come from that result, the result of you doing something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it is important to realize that you don't always, just because you're not feeling creative doesn't mean that you should wait until you do to start, because you're going to feel less and less creative and less, you're going to come up with more and more excuses to do it. And then eventually you're not going to do anything. And you're like, I just have been in a slump. It's like, well, you've just been lazy. Like you can still try to get back into a creative. For me, I think a big thing has always been like consuming other people's stuff,
right?
You know, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a YouTube video, a vlogger, even if it's certain things that have nothing to do with like my profession, but they're, you know, whether they're well done or whether they're just a different take on things, or they make me just get my brain out of certain things, it kind of sometimes fuels me to get back into them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, you know, and there's obviously a fine line. Don't consume for an hour, create for 5 minutes, and then get back into a slump and go, because then you're just wasting a lot of time.
Right.
But I think there's definitely something to be said about just getting inspiration from people. People that are doing things well, it's silly not to like embrace, hey, what made that creative, and analyze things.
Yep. I think the action, just what you said, the action of doing inspires you to do something. So whether you are the one that gets up and does something, or like Scott's saying, you watch someone else doing something, like the action of doing, whether you do it or watch someone do it, is inspiring. And then that wants you, that creates inspiration inside of you to then go do yourself. So I think just the action of doing, whether it's you or someone else, is super powerful, and it really helps to get out of the any slump that you might be in.
And I think that goes for a lot of things, because there's a lot of, like, I always try to think about if I'm feeling, I wouldn't say naturally that I ever, in the last bunch of years at least, have felt ever like super lazy, but anytime you're in any sort of like, man, I just don't feel like doing something, I try to think of it like, what's the pain? The pain's going to be way worse of me not doing something. Like what is the, if I don't do what I need to do right now, what effect is that actually going to have? And usually that effect ends up being way worse than if I just were to do it, even though I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you looked at your house and you're like, this thing's super dirty, I just don't feel like cleaning my house. Well, yeah, you can do that and put it off. But then the next time you go to clean, it's going to be even more dirty and even more dirty and even more dirty, rather than just being like, you know what? Just do it and it won't be as bad as you think.
Right.
It's like, it's a head game.
It is.
So yeah, it's I think everyone's different of how they get out of slumps, but I think it's important, like Pablo said, to sometimes just realize that's part of it. And especially if you're trying to, you know, build a business and continue to just grow at your craft, you have to realize that you sometimes have to just discipline yourself to actually do it, because the best writers, songwriters in the world and writers in the world and authors and all that, they don't just wait each time for inspiration to come. They sometimes just start putting something on paper. I've done that with edits where, you know, you'll start with an edit that you're like, where do I begin? Well, just begin somewhere. literally just throw things onto your timeline, let things have no sort of flow, and then start watching it, and you'll be like, ooh, that would be a good shot there. Or maybe this would be cool. Or it just, it puts you in like a mindset.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think something I've learned early on is just that, you know, the definition of commitment is doing the thing you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has left you. And I think that just, you know, do like literally, I think too many people are focused on the emotion that they're feeling in the moment rather than the result that will come from it. And I think that, and don't get me wrong, I you know, emotions are emotions and they're real, and, you know, some people can control them better than others. But I think that working to really think about like what matters most right now, the result or what I'm feeling, you know, and try and assess that for everybody's different and everybody, you know, is going to react differently to those things. But I think that it's important to just remember, like, question yourself, like, is what I'm feeling valid, you know, and like, is it enough for me to give up right now, or it, or am I just being, you know, soft right now? And can I really just get up and do what I said I was going to do, or what I really committed to doing, or whatever that may be for you.
That's good. So it's January the 4th, new year starts. I think naturally when a new year starts, you usually either have an overwhelming sense of here's what I'm going to conquer in this new year, or what did the previous year look like? And when you kind of look back at 2018, let's look back for it. Well, actually, first of all, which one's more natural to you, to look right away forward and forget past, or a little of both?
That's an interesting thought. I like both, one more than the other. So I think to look back is important, just because if you don't look back, then you're never going to see how far you've come, and you're never going to learn from anything. And I think that it's important to look back to see growth and also to see where you need to work on things. But I think a lot of people like to dwell on the past, and I think sitting in something that you can't change doesn't really benefit anybody, including yourself. So I think it's important to look back, but not to really, you know, sit there and enjoy it. When you're driving, you don't look in the rearview mirror the whole time. You look forward because you need to see where you're going. And I think you need to look forward to see what steps you're taking and what action is going to be happening. So I prefer to actually look forward. Sometimes I just do it without even thinking. I just like to look forward because of what's possible. But I think looking backwards as well every once in a while to see, especially like you're saying in the new year, it's a good time to kind of look back and just be like, what even happened? You know, because I was moving so fast. So
it's,
I like
it's both. Also why I love, like, I feel like I talk about this all the time, but why I love logging and love just filming stuff, because I looked back the other day at a video that I created January 3rd, 2017 or 18. Yeah, 18. And we were in the office. I was talking about how we were trying to get focused on what we wanted our, like, what we wanted the company to be, like what our focus was. And I was like, we've come a long way in that.
Right.
We've determined what we really feel like content type clients are better than standoff ones.
Right.
And we've done, and so it's cool like that. It's part of why it's fun to document what you do, because you can not only look back mentally and think to yourself what happened, but you can actually watch what happened.
It's true.
And it's just that even if you're not publishing it for people to see, it's just a cool concept to be able to actually see what you're doing. So when you look back at 2018, what was like a revelation moment, like, man, that came, that's something I need to work on, something that I didn't realize I need to work on? What were some things that kind of came about?
I think there's always a bunch of things that, you know, come to mind, but I'd say the first most important and biggest thing for me personally is time management. I think that time management is something that I've always struggled with. I'm not sure if that's a cultural thing, because I've noticed, you know, I'm you know, partially Hispanic, so I've noticed that just Spanish people look at time very relationally, and most people, like, you know, just
a conversation's 3 hours long.
Well, yeah, the relationship matters more than where you got to be next, you know. And so I think that that's just a cultural thing. And here in America, just obviously a lot of people look at time very, you know, more towards the money side of things, or you know, the very timely fashion. So, which is not that either one is wrong, but so for me, time management is something I've always struggled with, and it doesn't mean that I'm late to absolutely everything. It doesn't mean that I'm, you know, always struggling in every single thing, but I would say that it's always an underlying thing that I have found myself needing to work on, just because I think it's so important to respect people's time. And I'm realizing that internally, which now it's starting to make me act differently, you know, even towards maybe having lunch with your mom or something. Like it doesn't right. matter the situation. Like, someone's time is so valuable because they never get that back, and neither do you. So I think it's important to just respect the time that you're giving someone and also the time that they're giving you. And I think for me, that is becoming so, you know, in the forefront of my thinking now, that I'm doing my best to always be early to things and to always be attentive when I'm where I am and what I'm doing. So I think all of that comes to time management, and not just in the moment, but in the prior too. Because if you prepare before you go somewhere to be ready for whatever right. it is you're doing, then you're acting with 100% of your potential rather than 50% because you walked in late and you're all scattered and everything. So I think
just, you're scattered. Yeah. People that you're going to meet are not necessarily in a good mindset now because they're annoyed that you're late, which already sets a topic. I mean, which already sets, you know, this mood that is, you're already going in with like this person's not gonna be a good mood.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And, but it's all, yeah, it is a big, and I think it's a problem that a lot of people, especially like new entrepreneurs or people that are starting a business, run into, because when you get to a point where you don't have necessarily a set schedule per se, mm-hmm. it's easy to waste a lot of time on something that's not necessarily like a waste of time.
Right.
But you're thinking in your head, I don't really have anything to do, but like, you should always be working on something and improving on something, whatever. And so you can naturally go to, you know, a lunch and talk with someone and hang out for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, mm-hmm. when like, because, well, I don't have anything I have to do when I get back. But it's like, if you're trying to build a business, you should be working on something
always, yeah.
and trying to do it. But yeah, it's really the respect of time than anything, because, you know, when you're 15 minutes late to something, that means usually the rest of your day is 15 minutes late to everything.
Yeah.
And then, so if you're a person, especially that has lots of meetings, or you're trying to like build a business and you're having lots of meetings, mm-hmm. you know, you're late 15 minutes to one, and now that meeting has to go longer, and then you're late to the next, and you're late to the next. It's just not something you want to necessarily be known by. Mm-hmm. Time management is huge. It's, I think, something that is hard for a lot of people.
And
for you, I know it was a lot about like, you just say yes to, like, you.
I was
you
just
said about, yes to everything.
I was literally about to say, a lot of it comes down to understanding what you have to say yes to and what you have to say no to. And I think for me, someone that loves to just like help people and be there for people and just do a lot of things, and my intention is good, but what I'm actually doing then is I'm actually not doing a lot of things well or to the best that I can. I'm only doing a lot of things decently, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. or half with half potential, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that I think that I've realized more than anything in 2018 was I finally got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm not as invincible with being able to do everything as I thought, in terms of I was in a position at the church and different positions where I kind of took on a lot of different things at once, and I managed to do it all, and I kind of stayed in a mindset of I can just keep taking on more and more and more things and I'll make it work. And I think I made it work. But I'm realizing now that like, it's just not that fun to have that kind of nonstop expectation mm-hmm. of, especially being someone that obviously wants to do things well. It's really hard to not give something 100%.
Right.
Or no, man, if I produced that product with barely any time, how much better could I have done if I actually spent more time on it? And that's what I think I'm really trying to work on in this year, is scaling back stuff. Like being able to say, if I'm going to do a podcast and I want to do it well, what's that schedule look like? And if I want to do YouTube, what's that schedule need to look like? And then other things outside of like business, YouTube, and the main, you know, the main things, it's saying no to some other things and being okay with kind of the thing I talked about in my recent vlog, is like, you might let certain people down because they want you to do something that normally you used to say yes to. And it's just not possible now. It's right. a season. We go through different seasons. And my time right now is so valuable. in terms of not like you owe me money for time as much as I have a family of young, like you're in a different place than me. So your time is different when you leave the office than mine because I get a limited amount of time with kids. So it's just, it's just a different seasons.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting if you study successful people or talk to a successful person, if you have the opportunity to, I think, and when I say success, like that's the definition of it is so different to so many people. That's a whole nother conversation, but the successful, someone who's doing something well in life, let's say, most of the time they do that one thing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're known for that. They're, you know, whether they're professional or they just do it all the time that they become so good at it. I think it's interesting to see that they do that thing well, and then they focus their time on mastering that thing so well that like they're not known really for anything else. And I think when you try to do too many things, then you don't do anything well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just looking at people that do things really well and just seeing how that plays into your life and what you want to be known for and what you want to be good at. And it's not that you can't do a lot of things if you want to, that's fine. I think it's more about the conversation of just doing something very well and professionally if you want to do that for you and for your life.
Yeah. I mean, there's very rare like CEOs or crazy entrepreneurs that do tons of things in their own company. They're usually, they start the company and then they equip their company and people to do the other things they're not so great at. Like we talk about that all the time. Like when we thought about when we started offering, you know, animation and different things, it's like we could spend a ton of time learning After Effects and learning every aspect of all these different editing things. But it's like, but why?
Yeah.
Like, why don't we focus on what we're good at and let someone else who's spent hundreds and thousands of hours doing that good? Like, you don't need to do everything. You don't need to be a jack of all trades.
No.
Well, unless you want to be a person that only works for yourself forever and you want to do everything yourself, but not something I obviously strongly recommend at all. So 2019 is here. I'm excited for it. Lots of exciting things happening on all sorts of fronts. I'm excited about YouTube, excited about all that kind of stuff. What are some of your YouTube plans? You know, I talked about this the other day. What are your thoughts on it? I don't set goals for my YouTube channel in terms of I want to hit 100,000 subscribers. Like, because I feel like as long as I'm constantly putting out videos and I'm enjoying it, this channel is successful in terms of I just like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if no one watches or if hundreds of thousands, I still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your current 2019 YouTube thoughts?
You know, I've been doing YouTube now for 2-ish years, and I feel like just now, lately, 2 years and 200 plus videos later, I feel like I'm coming around the bend to like my editing style and like what I actually like to do. And when I have an idea in my head, actually make it happen, you know, for the viewer. Than to watch. In no way am I arriving. I never will, you know, but like, I feel like I'm coming to a point where like, when I think about something, I can make it happen in an edit and then put it out quickly. So I think the only thing for goals for me with YouTube is to do and do more, never stop. You know, I try to lessen the gaps, the amount of gaps in the amount of days that I don't upload. I want to just keep it very consistent and always be uploading. And I think the only goal I have is just to up the quality of what I'm putting out, and not just quality video wise, but quality also storytelling wise. And like the quality of the content, both video, like don't get me wrong, like I want the quality and the look of it to be better. But I also want the quality of the storytelling and just the overall message, I guess. That's kind of my goal, I'd say, and just to keep doing it and do more of it all the time.
There's always the internal dilemma you have with yourself when you create YouTube stuff of quantity over quality.
Mm-hmm.
What's better, 200 videos on your channel or 65 that are great? And to be honest, like, people ask all the time, like, how many videos should I put out a week or how many? I'm like, well, the first answer is as many as you can.
Right.
Which to most people is going to be like once a month. But then on top of that, I think you need to, especially when you are finding your voice per se, you need to put out a lot of videos just so that you can figure out what you actually like creating.
Yeah.
Sometimes people spend so much time creating their first like 5 to 10 videos. And I'm like, you know, no one's watching this, right? Like, you don't need to overthink like you are right now.
Right. Just
you need to start creating a ton of videos.
Yeah.
So that by the time you get to your 200th edit mm-hmm. and people are actually watching, mm-hmm. now you've kind of got this down. You've got like the rhythm. You've got the editing style. You've got the, hey, what's my channel about? Like, people are like, I really like this and I really like this. Which one should I talk about? I'm like, who cares? Both. I don't know. Like,
everything.
See, and then see what you actually like to talk about more. I don't know. Like, it's just with a YouTube channel, the great thing about the beginning of it is no one's watching. So put out anything you want.
Right.
And put out stuff just for you because you and only 4 other people will watch at the beginning anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start to find what you like to, or you'll start to see what the people that are watching, what they want to see more of. But I found that it's so much more fun when I create what I want to create based on like what I want to create. Like I know I could do so many more videos that are reviews and different things and that would just get more views and get more AdSense and get all, but I'm like, I don't really love it. Like when I do review, it's usually because I just feel like I usually want to internally see the review for myself to see which one I think is better.
Right.
And then it just so happens that, hey, if I'm going to go through the work of reviewing it, I may as well also put it on YouTube. But it's not fun. Like, it's not fun doing things. Like, it sounds bad. Like, I'm not saying, like, doing things for other people. But, like, I want to be me and do what I love to do. Because I feel like when I do naturally what I really love to do and I'm authentic to that, mm-hmm. people like the content better.
Oh, easily.
Rather than trying to be somebody else.
That's actually what I was going to ask you. So, like, what kind of content... Like when you sit down to do an edit for yourself, like a vlog or something like that, like what kind of video do you like? Like what's your favorite? Cause I know for me, one thing I found is that like, I love telling a story, mm-hmm. whether, and captivating people emotionally, mm-hmm. whether that be happy or sad or both or whatever in the same video. Like I think I found that I love telling someone else's story mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I think simply it's easier to film someone else. You know, because like course. When I can't film myself all the time doing some of the things, like, you know, and obviously I can work on getting better at that. But like, I think it's just easier to film someone else, you know, be the filmmaker. And so like for you, is that like something like, I know we've talked about documentary style stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but like, what's your, I guess your favorite kind?
I mean, I love documentaries. I love that whole idea. For me, it comes down to the fact that I don't this second have the time to even think about the concept of following someone else around
right.
for it. That like I would love to film a documentary sometime in 2020. There will be a 4LC studio, if that's what's even called at that point. There will be a documentary that comes out of like this studio here. It's like, I don't know how long it'll be, but the whole point is I love that. For me, what I love creating is I try to literally in every video think about what I would have loved to watch 2 years ago when I started my company.
That's good.
And when I do that, it is a fulfilling thing for me because I realize that when I publish something, very rare videos do I actually go through the work of like making cinematic anything. I literally think to myself, this video may be 10 minutes long and may be boring for a lot. There's going to be 3 people who watch this whole video through and are going to be like, I literally needed to hear that today. And I see those comments all the time. That's why I don't care about views. I don't care about anything because I just think to myself, this is going to resonate with someone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who. And because of the fact that 85% of my views come from non-subscribers, it's this other whole goal of like, I don't even necessarily know what all my subscribers like.
Right.
But yet... I know that someone's going to come across this video and it's going to make an impact.
Right.
And if I keep creating for what I needed to learn 2 years ago, I feel like there's so many people in that boat. It's like, I don't know at all. I don't know everything, not even close. Mm-hmm. but I know a lot more than I did 2 years ago. And then I know there's a lot of people where I was 2 years ago, where 5 years ago when I was just starting out and trying to like make this my full-time thing. There's so many people that are in that place. And so if I just keep trying to create like that, I feel like maybe that's why people have resonated with a lot of this stuff, because I also definitely don't overthink it. Like,
and I think that's why like things in general are invented, because like the reason something is invented is because someone was like, well, this is annoying. Like this would make it easier.
Yeah.
And then they create something. So all we're doing is every day your life is constantly, you know, inventing itself. Let's say you're inventing your life and you're creating what is your life. And if you can document that and share that with someone that's maybe a couple steps behind you, I think that's super powerful and super cool. And so, and it's so funny because we talk about it all the time that you can't even go wrong with that, because people can't disagree, because you're like, well, I'm just learning like you.
Yeah, like I didn't tell you that you have to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm not wrong. You may be right. Like I'm not wrong because I didn't say I was.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's just, it's obviously everyone has certain things that they know a lot about. And then there's also the reality that I know that I'll watch back 2 years from now and be like, I didn't even know about that at all. And I thought I did. But that's part of learning. And that's part of why I love putting it on YouTube. Because I want someone to look back at 2 years ago and be like, yeah, he started doing real estate and he now hates it. Like, I want people to see that. Like, the real life, hey, we did this. Like, that whole journey is on YouTube.
It is.
When we first did a real estate, to we did a bunch of them. We found the niche of how to actually get the jobs. Then we decided, screw this.
Not for us.
And it was not for us. Like, I love that. That's on there. For someone that's in the field thinking about doing that, you can literally see in real time what I thought about it and why I left it.
Right.
I just think it's super cool. But so, yeah. Thanks for listening to this random podcast. I really think we're probably going to try to do something once a week where we kind of just sit down and brainstorm, because we have these conversations about 15 hours a week randomly about different stuff. And it's hard to necessarily capture them at all times. But I really want to try to make a point of kind of getting your feedback. As always, reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, all those places, and let me know some thoughts or some things that you'd like to hear brainstorm, because I would love this to be kind of the very different interactive way that we can do more in-depth Q&A from both sides of us, because everyone's perspective is different. And I would love to be able to, each time we record this, just open up a little list of things that you would love to hear discussed specifically for the podcast, because a lot of this content will not make YouTube. Maybe bits and pieces will, or maybe the whole thing will, who knows. But this is the rare place that we can really go deep on discussions, and whether it's its own podcast all about a topic or just random things, I think it could be a cool platform to just kind of real time discuss what we're going through. And we'd love to know your thoughts on that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being the podcast, Pablo. Hope you enjoyed your stay here. And we'll do it again real soon.
Let's do it.
See ya. Thanks for listening.